Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, last Sunday we celebrated Easter and we are doing it again. The celebration continues. In fact, as you may know, the Easter season is 50 days long, all the way up until Pentecost. And during the Easter season, we hear a number of reasons that readings that tell about a variety of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to his disciples. Different people who saw him under different circumstances. Last week, Peter and the beloved disciple found an empty tomb, and they didn't know what to make of it. But then we heard Mary speak with Jesus, and she learned that Christ had risen. Now this week, we've got an unnamed group of disciples and Thomas. It is clear from all of the stories that we read that the resurrection did not come naturally for Jesus' disciples. They just had not experienced it, anything like it before. Jesus had died. They expected that he was dead forever, and that life would have to go on without him. They just had not been prepared for the idea that he could rise again. And this raises the question for us, would we get it? Have we been prepared for the idea of the resurrection by 2,000 years of Christian doctrine? And are we so accustomed to the idea of God doing great things in our life that we would find a resurrection easy to understand? In fact, is there any amount of preparation that can help us understand when God decides to do a totally new thing? I don't think so. I think the resurrection is still difficult to wrap our heads around. But you know, at some point, the word of the resurrection got out. Mary announced it to the disciples. And so after this announcement, perhaps there shouldn't have been any question about it. Perhaps we think it should have been easy to believe. Perhaps we think there shouldn't have been any differences of opinion about it. Well, that's not the case. Communication wasn't any more reliable then than it is now. You remember playing telephone when you were a kid, and you'd sit in a circle, and one person would whisper a message into the ear of another person, and then they would whisper it on, and by the time you got to the end, it was garbled. It was just completely different. Or even today, you know, you can send a text message, and your abbreviations may be completely confusing to the person who receives the message. What one person understands just may totally confuse the second person. And the resurrection is no exception to this. It confused people then, it continues to confuse people now. And it wasn't made any easier by the fact that this Jesus bothered people. He bothered people during his life, and he bothered people after his death. And some people were just offended by the idea that God could die. They were just baffled and disbelieving about that idea that God would voluntarily die. How could that happen? Other people have said, well, a human being cannot rise from the dead. They used some creative thinking to get around that problem and said, well, if he was actually alive, then that must have meant that he didn't really die. Jesus wasn't really God, or he didn't really die. Maybe he was only badly wounded and just appeared to die. So people have come up with these creative ideas to get around this fact that it's baffling. It's even offensive to some folks that we say that God would have died. And early Christians just seem to come up with all sorts of different understandings. Some that we call Gnostics believed that the body was bad to begin with and that the spirit was good, so that Jesus' death was a good thing, got rid of his body. Other people said, well, Jesus only appeared to be human. He only appeared to suffer. He didn't really, in fact, even have a body after all. Well, as the church kind of reflected on these theological understandings, they decided that neither of these perspectives really reflected accurately what they believed actually happened with Jesus, and that both of these perspectives were outside the mainstream Christian belief. However, you know, I think that even today, many people still have negative feelings toward their bodies. And some people feel that all bodily needs are bad. And we see this, unfortunately, with a lot of young teenagers who turn towards anorexia because they're punishing their body in some way by not allowing it to have food. The body is bad. Or sometimes people end up with drug abuse to escape physical pain, emotional pain. People may develop a sense of shame, low self-esteem, if their body is not perfect, if it doesn't live up to the ideals that we see on the cover of magazines. For instance, if a person is overweight or has prominent scars or some form of handicap, they may feel that their body is so imperfect that they have no value in society. And then plus, there's a whole strain of church history where the church has said the body is the source of sin. The body's no good. Wow, all of these negative perspectives about the body. In our scripture passage today, we deal with this challenge about the body and the resurrection just head on. Jesus appears to his disciples in a locked room. In a locked room, the door is locked. And that raises all sorts of questions. How does he get through a wall? How does he get through a locked door? What kind of body is it that can defy the laws of nature? Is it a true body? All sorts of questions this passage raises. On the other hand, the passage also tells us that this resurrected body of Jesus is not perfect. He has wounds. He still bears the marks of the nails. And all the disciples who are gathered there see his hands, which has the marks of the nails, and his side, which has the marks of the spear. And they rejoice. They are glad to see his wounds because they are recognizing him by those wounds. These wounds mean that he is not dead after all. But Thomas is not there. And Thomas comes in for a lot of criticism, you know. We say things like, oh, he's doubting Thomas. He should have believed. And when he says things like, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, we hear that as being pretty sarcastic. And when he says things like, unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe, we think he's being stubborn because the other disciples, they have already believed. But Thomas is insistent. He is insistent that he does not need anything that the other disciples haven't already gotten. They've already seen. And he wants to see, too. He wants to see this Jesus who is both fully God and fully human. And so when Jesus somehow comes through that locked door, but with his body, risen, and yet risen with wounds, he sees that the past has not been erased, that suffering has not been glossed over. Somehow it is those very wounds that persuade Thomas, that make him believe, that make him proclaim this wonderful faith statement, my Lord and my God. Our risen Lord knows intimately the pains and the delights of having a body. We see the marks of the nails in his hands and the piercing of his side, and it reminds us of Good Friday and the cross. We must not forget Good Friday, even after Easter. But you can't get to Easter without Good Friday. And so the risen body of Jesus still bears the wounds of the cross. This risen body of Christ, this risen body that we hope and that we affirm we will all have one day, we don't know exactly how it comes to be. We don't know how Christ's body can pass through doors and yet still bear the wounds. But this story shows us that the body is good. God cannot be manifest among us without a body. God needs our bodies of all shapes and sizes, of all ages and conditions. God values bodies and bodily needs. Some of us have bodies that are hungry or hurt. Children are malnourished. Teens are missing limbs from landmines. Some of us are lonely and grieving. Some of us are imperfect by the world's standards. We all bear wounds of some kind. And the risen body of Christ calls us to be aware of and to tend the wounds of others, to support them in times of loss, to feed them through opportunities like the fish pantry or meals at St. Vincent. We, like Thomas, we are charged to honor all bodies as we would the body of Jesus, to honor all people as we would honor him. And when we do this, when we honor other bodies, we are proclaiming the risen Christ, and we are saying with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Let's pray. Living God, no door is closed for you, no heart is locked, and we ask that you would draw us beyond our doubts until we see the Christ and we touch his wounds where they bleed in others. This we ask through Christ our Savior. Amen.